Gracious and merciful God, you come to us and you call to us and you invite us. And so we ask that you would open our ears to hear your word, open our hearts to hear it again. Let it land and let it blossom. In your name we pray. Amen. Our gospel this morning comes from Matthew 13, beginning at verse 24. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, and the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them in?" He replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first, then bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We already said this, but waiting is hard. Waiting, anticipating, hoping, and dreaming of someday. This is how we have often lived our lives, and it's hard. It seems we are usually waiting for something to happen, aren't we? We wait for answers. We wait for appointments. We wait for events to happen, sometimes good, sometimes not. We spend a lot of energy and time in our lives waiting. Some of it can't be helped. Surgeries get scheduled, but you have to wait for them to happen. We wait for answers in tests that get run, but it takes a while for those test results. We wait in anticipation. We wait for family events and parties and celebrations that are scheduled in advance. In addition to that kind of waiting, we also wait for God. We wait for God to make the next step in our lives clear to us. For an answer to prayer, we wait for healing. We pray for the return of Christ to set all things right. We wait for a new heaven and a new earth. We wait for an end to mourning and crying and pain. Waiting is neither good nor bad. It just is. Waiting just is. We want answers now. We want things to be revealed now. We don't care for waiting at all. It frustrates us. Sure, every once in a while, something happens and we know right away the way it needs to go, the way it's going to go. Sometimes things happen rapidly. But the reality is that more often than not, we spend a lot of our time waiting. Over and over, Scripture tells us that we should wait patiently for God. The analogy of the farmer shows us over and over and over again in Scripture. The farmer shows up all the time throughout Jesus's parables, but also in the Old Testament, the prophets spoke of the farmer. Because there are some things that cannot be rushed. You cannot ripen grain any faster than it's going to grow and ripen. You cannot bring about spring any faster than it's going to come on its own, no matter how much you wish it was warmer. Creation gives us lessons in patience. We wait in life. The question is not if we're going to be waiting around for something to happen, but what are we doing in the space that we have, in the time in which we are waiting, what are we doing with that time? How we wait can tell you a lot about yourself. It can say a lot about the condition of your heart. How do you react when you are in a hurry and the person in line in front of you cannot be rushed and needs to count their loose change to the penny? How do you react? What goes through your mind? How do you react when you get to, say, the doctor's office on time and then sit in the waiting room for half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour for your turn? How do you voice your displeasure? Do you harumph on your own and just sit and drum your fingers and look annoyed? Do you go and complain to the people behind the desk? Do you have something to say to the doctor when it's finally your turn? Or do you just pick at the nurse as if it were that person's fault? On my very best days, I am patient. On my very best days, I let things go. I bring a book along and I take it as an opportunity to just sit and be still. I wonder about what might else be happening, what justification there might be if there's somebody who's experiencing something that they need extra time and energy from someone for rather than me. On my very best days, I can look at that person with compassion in front of me who is counting their pennies and trust that they are just doing the very best they know how to do and that it's okay if they're slower than I want them to be. But I don't often have a very best day, do you? I often find myself scanning lines to see which one's shorter and then really ticked off because I always pick the line that's shorter and is gonna move slower than all the others. I find myself looking daggers at people, at the receptionist in the doctor's office who has nothing to do with it. I find myself saying to the waitress, oh no, it's fine, and then docking her tip because she took forever to refill my water or my coffee. We all have stories like this, don't we? We all do these kinds of things. We have all acted with impatience or annoyance as if our schedules and our agendas were the most important thing in the whole world, as if we were the center of the universe. I wonder if we're honest about our impatience, if we're really honest about how we show up when things aren't going our way. How are we waiting for God? If we're really honest, when we cry out to God and ask for something to happen and it doesn't happen right away, or it doesn't happen the way that we think it should, how do we respond? Do we bring our best self? Do we assume that God has reasons that we cannot see or understand? Or are we angry and frustrated? Waiting can be painful. And yet, we wait for redemption. We wait for answers. We wait for understanding. Sometimes we just wait for things to feel okay again. Jesus offers us a different perspective on waiting. In his parable of the weeds and the wheat, he offers us a different way of thinking about God and what God might be up to in our world. His emphasis is on the wisdom and the patience of this farmer, who, if you didn't know, represents God, if you weren't sure where God was in that parable. The farmer sows good grain in his field. In the middle of the night, the enemy sneaks into the field and scatters wheat into the seed and then going to a farmer for bead. He would buy of wood and go out all the land. Just maybe they would be inclined to accidentally pull out some wheat as they weeded and pulled out the weeds. Only the farmer, at the time of the harvest, and not before, is going to decide between the weeds and the wheat. It seems that we human beings have a lot to learn about patience, anticipation. We are so ready for the answers. We're so ready to just decide and get moving. We wish God would just do something. And so we receive lessons in patience, something that we are called to cultivate in our lives. James gives us wisdom about waiting. He says, in the meantime, while you're waiting, because you're going to wait anyway, so while you are waiting, strengthen your hearts. While you are waiting, don't grumble about each other. While you are waiting, do not judge one another, but wait for God to act. James gives us two other solid examples of waiting. The first is that of the prophets. Those who spoke the will of God, those who proclaimed the coming of the Messiah, those who told the people of Israel what they should be doing, the promises of God that would be fulfilled, and never lived to see those promises. Read the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah, Micah and Zechariah. Read the promises that they made to the people. And know that they never lived to see those promises fulfilled. And yet they trusted. And yet they believed. They did not lose faith. They did not quit preaching. They trusted God's timing, even though it was not their timing. James then asks us to think about Job. Poor Job. We know Job's story. The long-suffering servant of God, who loses everything, his family, his wealth, even his health, and yet refuses to curse God so that he can die. Job, whose friends say, "Would you just get it over with? Curse God and God will strike you dead and you'll be out of your misery." And Job says, "No, I have received blessings from God. Why should I not also receive this?" Job cries out for justice. He cries out for redemption, and yet he waits. He waits for God to act. This sort of patience, James says, is the patience that we are supposed to have as well, as we wait for the coming of Christ. 2 Peter even goes so far as to suggest that the patience of God has a purpose. That God is not delaying, but that God is strategic. 2 Peter says that God's delay is in order to draw more and more people into the kingdom. That what we experience as a delay is not that at all, but the gracious, loving patience of God. What we perceive as delay is all about mercy. I wonder then if God doesn't just know how impatient we are and is giving us a chance to learn patience a little bit more. I wonder if God knows how hard it is for us to forgive, how hard it is for us to move on, how hard it is to just let things go. And I wonder if God sees our broken world and waits for us to get into action. Not separating out the weeds and the wheat, but allowing them to grow up together in order to restore God's design to this world. I wonder if the delay of Christ is grace, giving us time to work in this world. What if God's delay is about us getting into action? Not because God needs us in order to save the world, but because God chooses to act through us in this world. And so what if all of this waiting has a purpose? What if there's something we have to learn about how we show up as our best selves in this world? What if we have something to learn about patience and how God feels looking at you and I? What if God's waiting is wisdom that we just don't understand? What if the postponement of Christ's return is for our benefit and the benefit of others around us? What if we're supposed to make a difference in this world while we wait? In the parable that Jesus gives, the farmer insists on letting the weeds and the wheat grow up together to wait until the very last moment. And then when everything is ripe, then the weeds will be pulled first, and then the wheat gathered into the barn. I wonder if in this world, in which separation is graciously postponed, is it just possible that God sees that there are some weeds that might just become wheat, and so we wait because God is patient with us? And so how do you practice patience this week? What waiting do you know is going to happen in your life? How might you look with more grace and less judgment? Stop for a moment when you get impatient this week, when you feel that anxiety rise up and you're ready to just stomp your feet, look impatiently, drum your fingers, yell at somebody, and wonder, how does Jesus respond when we are slow to do what we ought to do or slow to respond to him? What might God be teaching you and I about patience and love? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you invite us to be patient as you are patient. We confess that this is hard work. We do not have to be patient. We do not like to. And yet we give you thanks that you are merciful, that you are gracious, and that your patience with us is without end. Help us to also be patient with one another. Amen.